Now, I've got a little challenge this morning for anybody who would like to take up this challenge. I have my little whiteboard here, and the challenge is, who can draw a straight line on the whiteboard? That's all you've got to do, a straight line. It can be either up or it can be across. But the challenge is, can you draw a line that is exactly horizontal or exactly vertical? Who wants to come and have a go? Come, Rebecca. Right. Are you going to draw a line across or up and down?
Up and down.
She's going to do an up and down line. She's going to do it completely straight. You can go a bit further. It's okay. Well done. Anybody else want to have a go? A completely straight line. Shouldn't be too difficult, should it? Malcolm will have a go. Malcolm's going from, he's going from left to right. Oh, not a very good pen, you might want. Oh, it's okay. Right. Malcolm is going from left to right. Okay. No. Anybody else want to try? Yeah, is that you, Joe? Was that your sister putting your hand up, Jedediah? Was it? Oh, it's Rebecca. Right. Well, we're going to have a little look, and we're going to see if these lines really are completely vertical. I've brought with me this morning something called a spirit level. If you've ever done any DIY or building work, you will know what a spirit level is. A spirit level has got a spirit, little spirit vials inside it, and a big air bubble in each. And the air bubble moves according to whether something's straight. The air bubble is always level. And there are little markings to see whether it is level or not. So if you're building a brick wall, you might start at the bottom with a brick wall, and it looks straight. But if you don't make sure it is exactly level, by the time your brick wall gets up this high, it will be like that. So let's test these lines. We'll do Malcolm's first. Let's see. Across here. Oh, dear. The little air bubble is here. It should be in the middle. Right, we'll do Rebecca's. Oh, no, that doesn't work either. Rebecca's, this air bubble, Rebecca's isn't off too much, but the air bubble is just tipping over the line. It should just be a little bit more like that. I'm very sorry that neither of you managed to do a completely straight line, but then you didn't know I was going to be measuring it with such precision, did you? So that really is me playing a little bit of a fast one and giving you a bit of an extra challenge. Of course, builders use spirit levels to show whether something's flat or isn't, whether it's across or straight up. I've even used the spirit level when hanging wallpaper, because as long as you get your first piece straight and you make sure it's completely straight, then hopefully, depending how straight your wall is, the rest will follow on completely straight. It shows whether something is straight, flat, going across, or up and down. You know, people too can be straight or a bit wonky. Not in the way they stand, although that too, sometimes I find myself standing, or I stand leaning against something. But people can be straight or wonky in what they say and in what they do. And everybody gets things wrong. Everybody. Everybody gets things wrong and needs to be put right. If a wall is built wrong, by the time it gets to 6 bricks high, the only way you can sort it out, if it's wrong at the base, is to take all those bricks off and then redo it from the base going up. There's a house a little way along here who's had a brick wall, a brick plinth built recently, and I watched the builders doing it. And from where I was, the other side of the road, That's not very straight. It's getting more and more wonky. But they persevered and they just gave it a rustic look. So it's still standing. They didn't bother to take it right back down. But to my eye, well, I won't take the spirit level anywhere near it. Because it really is not very straight. But we are not very straight either. And just like a brick wall can be remedied by taking it back to the basic, that's what Jesus lets us do. He lets us start again with him. Again and again. To draw a new straight line in our lives and to follow it true. True, although we think of it as being something that is not a lie, true is also a word that's used in the building trade. They say if something is built true, then it's built exactly to the right dimensions and exactly straight. So Jesus allows us to start again and again with him and to follow the true line. We have our errors, our sins, wiped out when we come to Jesus, when we ask to be forgiven, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want to put up with wonky people inside. He wants us to be the best we possibly can, and he will make us the best we can possibly be in his time if we trust ourselves to his workmanship. Everyone is good at something. Probably at lots of things. Those people say, oh, I'm not good at doing this, or I'm not good at doing that. They are good at something. And those people who others look at and think, oh, they're hopeless, they too are good at something. Everybody is good at something. And especially those people whose school reports say, can do better, or must do better. They too are good at something. Even those whose only capacity physically is to lie and be cared for are good at something. For we all have our place and our purpose, and we are all a blessing in the lives of others. We all have things that we are good at. But we all also get things wrong. And human beings have got a very bad habit, all of them by nature, have got a very bad habit of blaming others. They want someone or something to blame when something goes wrong in their lives, even if there is nobody to blame. They want someone to blame. This picture shows some teasels. Some people use teasels in craft work. And at one time they were used to tease out wool. But they are very sharp. They're in the shape of a pine cone and they are very sharp and very prickly. Just use your imagination. Somebody is walking through this bit of woodland one day and they accidentally brush against the teasels. And their arms are scratched. What might they say? Well, they might say, those teasels, somebody should have dealt with them when they were smaller. They might say, whoever looks after this woodland doesn't keep it safe enough. They might say, oh, this ground here is so uneven, that's why I've scratched myself on these teasels. They might say, oh, the sun was in my eyes, and that's why I scratched myself on those teasels. I couldn't see where I was going. Oh, the shoes I'm wearing, these are really the wrong shoes for walking down this path. That's why I scratched myself on these teasels. The noise coming from over there, or the conversation of my companion, it just drew my attention away from where I was walking, and that's why I've scratched myself on these teasels. Who said to me this morning I didn't need to have long sleeves for my walk in the woods? They are responsible for my scratched arms on these teasels. Who suggested I come walking here in the first place? They are responsible for the scratches on my arm because of the teasels. You can see, can't you? how human beings so easily find someone to blame in a situation where there is no blame at all. But oh, so easily we can say it was somebody else's fault. It was somebody else who made me go wrong in some way, even if it's a simple way. And humans are not only good at blaming, but human beings are very good at feeling wronged. It's not fair. Why should this happen? Why should that happen? Why have I got to do this? And why has that happened? And they're also good at holding grudges. That person upset me last year. I won't forget that person. 10 years ago, they really, really upset me. Human beings are very good at doing these kind of things. In short, we are not good at forgiveness unless we are the one who expects to receive it. We expect to be forgiven, but not to have to do the forgiving. That's the human state. And in the human state, resentments are all over the place. Blaming, upset is everywhere. But snow covers everything. There's a verse in the Bible that says, love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that's seen especially in snow. This photo was taken a couple of years ago in Valence Park, just up the road. And of course, Valence Park is full of imperfections. There's litter, there's uneven ground, there's all sorts of things that are wrong. But when the snow has fallen, especially when it's fresh, especially when it hasn't been kicked up and moved around and made dirty again, all those imperfections just disappear. You can't see them anymore. Of course, they're still there, but you can't see them anymore. Many people become good at hiding their imperfections, feelings, resentments, or their own faults. It's something we learn as we grow up and we get better and better and better at it until sometimes we get to extreme old age and then we don't care. We just let it all show anyway. But we are very good at covering up our imperfections, not letting people see the things that we have that are wrong within us. You know, we are taught to forgive when we're children. I can remember as a child being told to say I was sorry. Tell your sister you're sorry. Or tell such and such you're sorry. Of course, being told to say you're sorry doesn't actually mean you are sorry. Being told to forgive someone actually sometimes just makes you resent it even more because you're being told to forgive. It's a polite thing to do. It's a good way of growing up, to be educated, to say sorry to others when you may have offended them. And it does create a more harmonious society. But is that real forgiveness? I don't know that it is. Once Peter asked Jesus how much he should forgive. How many times should I forgive? He said to Jesus. Obviously, something had really, really annoyed him. And he said, I keep forgiving that person and they keep doing the same thing to me again and again and again. How many times have I got to forgive them, Jesus? When can I just continue to be angry at them? And Jesus said, you can't count. There is no number big enough to say that you've reached the end of forgiveness. How much do you have to forgive? You have to forgive until you can forgive no more. Are you counting how many times you've forgiven someone? Then you haven't really forgiven them at all. And why should you forgive someone? Well, Jesus says, I forgive. Father, forgive them, he said, of those who were at the foot of the cross crucifying him. Again and again, he forgives us. Are we those who then can say, I will not forgive? Forgiveness does not mean that sin and wrongdoing has no consequences. And forgiving somebody does not necessarily take away the hurt that they have caused. But nonetheless, we, as disciples of Jesus, just like those first disciples of Jesus, are called to forgive. Called to be forgiving. I grew some raspberries in my garden. This is last year's crop. I still have some canes, if anybody wants some raspberry canes for their own gardens. But raspberries don't all ripen at once. It's just as well, really, because you don't want a glut of raspberries, because they don't last. Once they're picked, they spoil very quickly, which is why they're so expensive in the shops. Little by little, they ripen. Raspberries are delicious fruit, but the fruit ripens gradually, and it also grows on prickly branches. It sometimes takes time to get enough raspberries for a really nice bowl of raspberries, because this one's too ripe. That one there that's about to fall off is a bit too ripe. This one in front of it is not quite ripe enough. That one that's greeny coloured is nowhere near ripe. And the one at the back is just ready to be picked and eaten. It happens very gradually. And sometimes real forgiveness happens gradually. It takes time. Bit by bit, forgiveness takes place. But for the disciple of Jesus, it is essential. When Jesus met the disciples after the resurrection in the passage that Patrick read to us, he said to his disciples, "Peace I give to you. Peace to you." This is the peace that he spoke about in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. "My peace I give to you," he says. This is not just the usual Jewish greeting of peace. This is my peace. This peace is the peace that's to do with God's power to heal and restore and transform someone's life through the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. Jesus' peace is about wholeness and well-being. And Jesus tells his disciples, "You will take over my ministry of forgiveness and peace with my authority." Jesus says to the disciples, when you forgive someone, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is not a license to withhold forgiveness. Jesus does not say to his disciples, "You can choose whether to forgive or not." He says, "You must continue my ministry of peace," and that is a ministry of forgiveness, and that there is a power in forgiveness. "You are to give," he says to his disciples, "as I have given." Because giving is a big part of forgiving, isn't it? Even the very word forgive contains the word give. And it just shows that gesture that has to be made of giving something away when you forgive someone. And the disciples are called to forgive, as are all disciples of Jesus, even when the other person does not deserve it. Forgiveness in the world of Jesus Christ is not conditional. What if Jesus said to us, "Of course you can be forgiven, but only if you deserve it. You've got to come up to the mark first, and then I will forgive you." What if we say to others, "Yes, you can be forgiven, but first you have to earn your forgiveness. You have to make me feel that you've acknowledged your wrong, and then you will be forgiven." That is not the Christian way. The Christian way is the way to forgive, even if the other person does not deserve it. Is that humanly possible? It's not humanly possible. But it is spiritually possible with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to forgive. Of course, some things are easy to forgive, aren't they? Some things we forgive and we forget. Some hurts run very deep indeed. But Jesus says, forgive. Forgive as I have forgiven you. Forgive as is commanded in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And forgiveness has a healing power. Because my mum was a nurse, we had a large first aid kit. If we hurt ourselves as children, unless it was very serious, my sister once broke her ankle, jumping down from swinging on a lamppost. I once broke my elbow, falling off a horse. If it was serious, we got to go to the hospital or the doctor. But if it wasn't, Mum treated us out of that first aid kit. When I was 4 years old, somebody living a few doors down had a pet monkey and it clawed my head. Did I get taken to the hospital? No, I didn't. My mum washed it and used little strips to pull together the wounds. I had the home-operated first aid kit. When I shut my thumb in a car door and it went completely black, did I get taken to the hospital? No. I got sat down at the kitchen table where Mum put a hot sterilised needle through my nail to release the blood and stop the pain. When my sister and I used to fall over and have cuts and grazes, out would come the bright yellow acroflavin and be daubed all over us. When we had ulcers in our mouth or similar things, out would come the gentian violet. These days only used on horses because it's mildly carcinogenic. But used on us children, we had purple mouths and yellow knees because we were treated from home. But we were treated with love. We were treated in a way that would help us to heal. And we both survived. So that says something, doesn't it? We only went to the doctors if it was necessary. And that's because when my mum was young, you had to pay to go to the doctors. No NHS in those days. And it was expensive and people couldn't afford it. So home treatments were more possible. Of course, my sister and I grew up in the era of the NHS. My mum worked for the NHS. But nonetheless, we had home remedies in all sorts of ways. Forgiveness is a remedy for healing. Not cuts and grazes, but healing the emotions. And Christian forgiveness is a very powerful thing. And it's not about how we feel, whether we feel like forgiving someone. It's about obeying Jesus' command. And there's important things to know about Christian forgiveness. The first is that it does us good to forgive other people. Think about that person who may have hurt you 10 years ago. If you choose to forgive them, it makes no difference to them at all. They might have forgotten the incident. You might not have seen them in the last 10 years. You may not have spoken of what happened. But forgiveness makes a big difference to you. If you choose to let go of the resentment and the hurt and the pain, then it doesn't have the power to harm you. So forgiveness does us good when we are doing the forgiving. Not because it makes us feel somehow superior, but because it heals the hurt within. Forgiveness does us good. Forgiveness does other people good as well. It feels good to have relationships restored because forgiveness has been offered and received. It heals relationships. And forgiveness transforms communities. Where forgiveness works well, communities are strong. Whether they are the community of a family, whether they are the community of a neighbourhood, or the community of a church, or the community within a nation. Where forgiveness works well, people are emotionally healthy and strong. And Jesus knew this when he said to his disciples, "You must forgive." For he said to them, forgiveness is not all about doing something nice for somebody who's hurt you. It's about making sure that you are right with your Father in heaven and there is no barrier between you and the God who loves you. How do you overcome the barriers you make with the Lord? you forgive. For after all, the greatest example of forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus himself when he says, forgive. And if he can forgive us, who are we to say, I'm not going to forgive them or them or them? Having done something terrible, how can they be forgiven? For forgiveness is not about blessing the other, but about obeying the Lord our God. We should be disciples who learn to forgive. To forgive freely from the bottom of our hearts in order that we might know the full blessing of the Lord. In order that we might be the most effective for the Lord. In order that we might live a life that is whole and healthy in the sight of the Lord and truly be his disciples. Forgive, says Jesus, and then you can laugh. Forgive, says Jesus, then you are free. Forgive, says Jesus, then not only will you give love, but love will be received by you as well. Forgiveness has a healing, transforming power. Let's learn, grow, develop the mindset of forgiveness. That's not to say it's always easy. That's not to say it doesn't sometimes cost us dearly. But the command of Jesus is forgive. Forgive as you are forgiven, and then you can live in peace.